we come and we're thankful and joyful. Lord, thank you. You've put praise in us because we're knowing you. And Lord, thank you for that knowledge of truth and love and grace and mercy, long-suffering, patience, forgiveness, oh my, and on and on and on, till you come and for everlasting to everlasting. We give you praise, beloved precious Lamb, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. Well, we have been rejoicing over the past couple weeks in our inheritance, and I thank the Lord how he's brought that to pass. I will tell you truthfully, there was no foreseeing what the Lord wanted in that bringing these sermons together. Sometimes he'll allow that to happen, and I'll see it before he has it. But this has just been, well, honey, I want you here, I want you there, I want you here and there. And it's been beautiful, and I've been so grateful. But what we've been encouraged in is how we can take this inheritance and the value of this inheritance. And we started a couple weeks back, and we saw that first, in order to take it, to have it as your own, is you must be able to describe it. You have to know it. It was so sweet how Joshua went to those tribes, and he said, now, let me tell you something. This is yours, but you got to get out there. You're slothful. You've got to get out there and walk through that land and know what your inheritance is. You need to know this for your own and tread through it and then be able to describe it, to write it. Let it be engraved upon your heart. And then last week we saw the epitome of that, didn't we? We saw Caleb. That inheritance was engraven upon his heart. He was one of the 12 that went out there and saw that land. But he was only two of the 12 that came back and said, it's mine. And matter of fact, I set out claim for exactly what's mine. And we saw that his whole life, his entire life was about one thing. If there was ever a life that exuded, if by any means I might attain that, it was Caleb. Caleb had been waiting. 45 years later, there he is. Give me my mountain. I love that. Give me the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's all he wanted. That's all he saw. And he lived for it. And praise be to God, he wanted it now, didn't he? Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he wanted it now. Well, we come to today. Go ahead and you begin to turn to Joshua chapter 15 because we're going back in Joshua. And today it's those that mark them that are like Caleb. As the word of God encourages us to mark them that follow Paul as he followed Christ, that we're examples of Paul. That as Paul went after the Lord, those are the ones that you need to watch and mark and observe that love and passion and joy for the Lord. So we come to this one that saw how to pursue the inheritance in a like passion as Caleb. And you talk about a happy Father's Day. I thought again, how perfect God is. Well, this was Caleb's Father's Day of Father's Day. Because this is his daughter we're going to talk about today. His daughter saw that in her sweet daddy. And she marked that. And she marked it so well that she just didn't ask and receive what her daddy received. She said, I want even a double portion of what my dad has. Let's go ahead and read chapter 14, and we'll read from verse 13. And it says there, and it took Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Hamanam, Talmai, and the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sephir. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sephir and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. So that was his sweet nephew. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Achsah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ask, and Caleb said unto her, "What wouldest thou?" Who answered, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Oh my goodness, how much that she received. But I look at this and I think, oh my, this is just like one of those pushy, wanting more and more Gentile brides. I think I see that pattern over and over in these sweet women of faith. He had already given her the south land. And you know what? She wants even more. She says to him, "I want the waters. I want a supplying that is beyond. I want fruitfulness that abounds." And notice this. She asked for double, but he even gave her more than the double that she was asking for. Have you found that with God? Have you found that with God? That he always does exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think? Thanks be to God for what I see, and thanks be to God for what I come to him for. And there's something about that he does every single time. He gives me more. And an abundance of more. So she had the land. Isn't that marvelous? And she wanted the water. She saw and she wanted those upper springs. But she got the nether springs too. The nether springs. Let me tell you about them nether springs. She saw the upper. But see, the nether springs, those waters were from the depths. Matter of fact, the word nether means hidden waters. Hidden waters. She saw the upper, she wanted more. And her daddy said, "Oh, honey, I'm even going to give you the hidden waters." Turn on over to Colossians chapter 1. If you don't see that this is for us, brothers and sisters, it's time to awaken. In Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25, Paul says there, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill or complete the word of God. Even the mystery," here's those hidden waters, the nether springs, "which hath been hid from ages and from generations," that's from people, see, "but now is made manifest to his saints," praise God, "to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, the nether springs, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, it's the heights and it's the depths, and I appreciate his sister said, and everything in between. Brothers and sisters, this is the testimony to us. Let's be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen? See, and it's the word that does that. It's the knowledge of the word that does that. Can't have that without it. That's what the word of his grace does. If you'll let it in, it'll fill you with all the fullness of God. Because the Word is all the fullness of God. As Jesus Christ said, "He who's seen me has seen the Father." He is the will of the Father. He's the Word. He's beginning, end, Alpha, Omega. He's all in all. And he gave that to us to be filled with all the fullness of. It's marvelous. It's amazing. It's heart exploding, mind exploding. But yet, this is God. What would be hard for God? Well, let me tell you, nothing. Not even you aren't a hard nut to crack. So get over yourself and let the Lord work. Now, this precious sister, she wanted the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. She wanted it all. She didn't just want some. She wanted all that fullness. And Caleb, her father, I love this. As we read this, and I know as we're reading these things, you can interpret things in some respects, how long the time took or whatever this was. But I see this as immediate. This is immediate. Caleb was waiting all his life, in a sense, for his daughter to come and ask him for this. Honey, I've just been waiting. I've been waiting for you to ask, and praise be to God, that's exactly what our Father is doing right now too. All he's doing is waiting for us to ask, because he's got it all to give. I got it here, honey. Didn't say any of the other kids. Didn't have any others. There was just one. Now notice this, and this gets even more beautiful as we go and drill down, as the Holy Ghost takes us down into the chambers. When you get into the Word of God, you have to see, you're going into larger gold mines. He takes you into it, and it's endless. I've said it many times. I remember they had that Treasure Hunter movie, and I enjoyed that. And that fellow was trying to find that treasure, and he went in, and he finally got into that room, and he could barely see it, and it looked like there was a little treasure in there, but then he lit the oil. And I love that. He lit the oil. See, the oil will take you there. That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And that fire lit it up. See, fire lights it up. See, they think they're making movies. They're writing stuff for me. God's allowing them to testify to me. That's how much he likes me and loves me, because I see this stuff. And I don't have to get in there and say, well, what does this mean? No, Jesus just said, this is what it is. I want to take you into something here, honey. And then, whew, as that oil in those little valleys of the rocks kept lighting back and its trenches all the way back, and there was one room, and you thought that was it. And then it just delayed a second, and then there was another room and another room, and it just looked like it was absolutely endless treasure. That is absolutely endless treasure. It's endless. I thank God for however Christ is preached, but I am telling you, I couldn't even tell you how ecstatic my heart is that I am encouraged to come in here by the grace of God with him, and we're together, and he's going to give us more and more and more all the time. Honey, I got another thing to show you about the beauty of you to me and what I have for us, what I want for you. Will you come with me? Will you come with me? Will you come with me? Huh? I'll go. Yes, I will go. But how beautiful. Notice here. She didn't ask for it till after she was married. She didn't ask for it till after she was married. Now, who did she marry? This fellow's name was Othniel. Well, you know what his name means? The Lion of God. His name means the Lion of God. Who is the Lion of God? So you're telling me that hidden in this little story is after she married the Lion of God, she asked for it all. The wife hath made herself ready. It's not waiting to happen. It happens right now. You enter into that now with him by faith in what you see in the Word of God. You'll see that you'll begin to take and ask, I want it all. I want you, because you're all. This is ours. You brought me into this. So here we go. It's so marvelous. She married the Lion of God and she got it all. And then she got even more from her father. And this is so to us, brothers and sisters. How can we not believe? Really, how can we not believe this for us and our better thing? And I thank God. See, this isn't hidden anymore. And I thank the Lord that we know that it was through the Apostle Paul and that preaching and that dispensation, that message that was given to him. It was hidden from the generations. It was hidden from the sons of men. It says it many different times, whether it's Romans or Ephesians or Philippians or, as we just read in Colossians. It was hidden. It was a mystery. But now, it is made known to the people. Oh, no, not the people. It was made known to his saints. His saints. His people, not the people, but his people. See, this was the much the more for the people of God. This goes right back again as Abraham wanted that bride for his son Isaac. He didn't just send his servant out into the world to find the woman for him. He sent that servant to an exact, precise place, to his people. That bride, my wife, is coming out of my people. You see? So, this is what's so beautiful. How marvelous this is. This just tracks so perfectly. Here she is, a child of the Father. And yet here she marries the Lion of God. And now it's as if she's going back to ask her father-in-law for more. Her dad, too. It's just too much. Now, here we go, because it goes on. He wants to marry you because he wants to give you all things. As the Word of God says about the Holy Ghost and why the Holy Ghost was given. And I appreciate you, brother. I pray you'll give your testimony, precious Mike. He fought and tried every reason to reject and why he didn't need or already had the Holy Ghost, but now he does and he knows it, don't you, brother? Amen. Love you, man. Don't fight. 10 years, right? The Lord laughed. Because he had a plan. Now, he sent that wonderful Holy Ghost to take the things of Christ and show them unto you. That's it. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. That's what that infilling now. Now it's begun. It's wonderful. Enlightened eyes of understanding. Now the oil, praise God, lit up. I'm going to take you down to the depths of those chambers. You want to go? Let's go. Quit wrestling with it. Let's just believe God and go. That's why this precious sister was so wonderfully amazing. Everybody said, well, that's great that Caleb's got that, and then they forgot about it. Well, he's got it. That's great. We'll just enjoy it. We'll just kind of get around him. That wasn't enough for her. I want it, and I want it more, and I want it for me. Not just for Dad, not just for my mom. I want it for me. There's passion here. This is amazing. And I'm telling you, it really takes an unction of the Spirit to go get this. Because oftentimes when we're around godly people, and they're even in our family, we get lazy. We think somehow that we've inherited some type of passion for Jesus just because I was born to brother so-and-so or sister this and that. Let me tell you something. It can skip generations and it can skip out of those generations. You need to take it up. You need to go after it. You need to make it your own. And this inheritance is right there. And just like Joshua was saying, you're a slothful people. How dare you not go after your inheritance? And truly by us, what a shame. Jesus died for us, not just to be saved, but to be his wife. He left the throne. He took upon himself the form of a man. He gave up that. He surrendered all of that. He loved you so that he gave it all up to have you. To have you. I must have her. You think we could respond? You think we could say, thank you, Lord? I want him. I see how he wants me. I get it. And I'm ready to make a move. Now, he wants us to have it all. And notice here what happened. There's something about, and I love this, there's something about lighting off an ass. Now, you can chuckle. What did Pastor say? I'm just quoting scripture. But that word lighting, she lightened off. That particular word's only found 3 times in the Word of God. 3 times. Well, you got Rebecca, she lighted off. Abigail lighted off and went to David. And then here we have this precious woman. She lighted off. This word lighted off means to descend. It means to be brought low. And how marvelous, brothers and sisters, that all of these women, brides, all of these women were given everything. When we receive the bridal message, you descend. You descend. You're brought low. And in that place, God cannot help but give you everything. And that's the truth. That's the truth. See, the bridal message does not puff you up. The bridal message truly causes you to descend. When the bridal message is real to your life, he must increase. I got one way to go. I must decrease. That's called blown away in the love of God. It was just like Esther as she went to him. Honey, what is your request? You're a little lowly orphan girl. And you came in here and you never murmured. You were just thankful that it was you. You were thankful. You didn't give me excuses. You didn't compare yourselves among the other women. You didn't say, well, why I got a bad draw. You came in here, honey, with thanksgiving. And you took everything that I ordered for you to have without a peep, without one moment of denying it. You took it. And honey, I'm here to tell you, it's all yours. If it's grace, it's no more works. And if it's works, it's no more grace. That glass darkly is just about ready to come off. Now, let me tell you something. It is too good and too much, but too good and too much is just what we got. And how beautiful we become. How beautiful we become to him when we take Paul's gospel by faith. Just by faith. See, you're receiving that right now. And you just take it. You don't earn it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're hearing this message. Believe it now. Don't draw back in unbelief. Don't waver and stagger and be double-minded about this. It's just time to go. And it's time to take note of those that love the truth like this. And praise be to God, become that ready bride. And that's exactly it. How did she get that way? Because she was the only child that marked that faith and love in her dad. And brothers and sisters, we need to take note. Because I'm going to tell you something. God is faithful and we've got them too. We've got them. And I thank the Lord I've had many and I have many. And I thank God for that. Especially, and I'm not saying anything but the truth, my precious mom. And I thank the Lord for many of us here that, and even those that didn't know him, you do know him. And I'm talking about Brother Hill. Because I follow Paul as Brother Hill followed Paul, as they all followed Christ. So, an amazing personality, treasure, but yet the true treasure, let me tell you something, you know it, because it's here. And not because of Brother Hill, but because of the faithfulness and the grace of God. That same precious faith and love that was in Sister Bodie and Brother Copley. Different personalities. Matter of fact, Missouri wasn't big enough for Sister Bodie and Brother Hill to live in. There was not enough country there. But I'll tell you what, they loved one another in the truth. And they sure did. But they needed space. Now, how did she get that way? Because she marked that precious dad. And I think about how, by the grace of God, do we become like that? Because we mark those that follow Paul as he followed Christ. And I think about Brother Hill. And I thank God that there was an overflowing with the double portion attitude in his life. Oh yes, God favors me. And if you weren't grown up in Christ, you would take it as arrogance. It made others upset. He wants too much from God. He thinks he's too highly favored of God. But that is the heart that wins him. You just know it. You know it. And you walk in that reigning and ruling together with him. There's always more to possess. Always more. There's more land. You have to have that heart. By the grace of God, you need it. That's the heart of the Joshua. That's why he could have that testimony to all of these. This was that testimony. This is yours, go get it. This is yours, go get it. Caleb, the same thing. And that's why I was so thankful. One of the last things, and I've said it many times, that Brother Hill said to me. He said, never stop learning. Never stop learning. How are you like you are, Papa? That's what I asked him. Never stop learning. How was he like you? I wasn't talking about necessarily even the youthfulness. I'm talking about passion. Passion for Christ. Passion for the Word. Passion to come up here at 94 years old, 93, 92, doing mornings and nights and Wednesday nights. Never stop learning. Never stop describing. And describing it more and more and more and more. When you love something, you describe it more. I said it many times. It's like the love letters I used to get in my mailbox from my precious wife. Did I read them once and throw them away? No. I read that thing all week long. What's in there? What's she mean by that? She really likes me. It's awesome. And this, over the top. Over the top. And they're hidden in here. And the Holy Ghost is just right there and ready to read them with you, read them to you, show you, encourage you, enlighten, take you down that path, take you as if you're there. Just like Paul, I don't know where I'm at, but I'll tell you one thing, I seen something. But see, this is how it is. Never stop learning. Never stop describing your inheritance in more detail. Fall in love with the much, the more and more. See, when you stop learning, you're done. Know that. When you've shut everybody else off, it's over. When you stop learning, it is done. When you stop hearing, it's over. Some want to stay in the past. And I've said this, and I'll be bold in it. Oh, when it was like this, or oh, when it was like that. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't come then. He didn't come then. Precious time, marvelous, wonderful. And there were many that could have said, well, it was so wonderful to be in that tent in the desert and we got manna from heaven. That was a wonderful time. But you know what? God moved them. And he moved them across to Jordan. And he moved them into the promised land. And he moved them into a land flowing with milk and honey. And I've got all this abundance wealth, but I just want to go back here and I want to go back to manna. We need to be, by God's grace, where he's taken us today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I'm telling you, just like Joshua told him, there's more land. This inheritance, praise God, it's overwhelming. It's so vast. You're graced. You're drawing breath. You're hearing the word of his grace. Continue to take more and more of it. Never stop learning. See, if you're living back then, I'll tell you what, you're going to miss Jesus today. The double portion always is awaiting. But it's only those that follow Paul as he followed Christ. And that means following Paul in everything with Christ. Staying with Paul's gospel. Staying with it. And no other gospel. I'm just quoting, by God's grace, the Apostle Paul. This isn't Jesse's thoughts. I do never want to give you my thoughts. But this is staying with Paul's gospel. This is staying and gathering the much the more with those that love Paul's gospel. And then going on into more and more knowledge of that wondrous gospel. This precious daughter of Caleb, she panted after that, just like her dad. She marked it. She wanted the springs of living water. And she even got the hidden nether springs. When you feast upon those hidden nether springs, you become the Shulamite. And the Shulamite is said to be a garden that is shut up for the bridegroom. It's just his. There's a reason, brothers and sisters, that ones like Caleb and his daughter are pointed out over and over in the Word of God, just like the Gentile brides. And the reason is they inherit beyond all the others. That's what your father wants. That's what your father is seeking for. The father is seeking for the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. Amen. The true lover of his son. Worship, drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. He's wanting that one. He's wanting that one that will have that embrace. That high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That interprets the embrace of a bride and a groom. That's why these ones are marked out. And the beautiful thing was the grace that they took, because they believed and they received it. Amen. And all I can say is, by the grace of God, why not you? Amen. Why not you? Amen. And I'll tell you what, by the grace of God, let it be me. Amen. I don't want to miss this. I don't want to miss this. I want to be living this. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray.
My beloved, light off, descend from God, having my glory, and be presented my wonderful masterpiece of grace. And lo, I'm coming soon. Be looking for me.
In Jesus' name we come. And Lord, the abundance that you have given. Truly today, as we thank God for the precious dads that have been given. Oh, Father, what you have given to us. Thank you that we're your sons. Thank you that you have brought us nigh to you in your Son, with your Son. One, oh, Father, make them one. Thank you for that love. Thank you that there is no hypocrisy in it or dissimulation, that it's the same. Help us to see it. Help us to know it. And Lord, let us grow and grow in it. We thank you so much, Jesus, for you and this beautiful life of Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name, amen.